This is the Ethanol Report. We're talking with Bob Dineen, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association, about what's going on or not going on in Washington these days regarding ethanol. There's a lot of issues on the table, but there's not that many days left on the congressional calendar to deal with them. So right now, Bob, what are the priorities for the ethanol industry, and what would you say is the current political climate in Washington when it comes to ethanol issues?
Well, right now, Cindy, the climate in Washington is, as it always is in August, hazy, hot, and humid with a chance of afternoon thundershowers. That is also sort of what it is on Capitol Hill, too, because nobody really has a clear sense of what's going on, and it is awfully stormy up there. There's not a real sense of direction right now. The Senate is likely to finish up its work this week and adjourn until September. Having not gotten an energy bill done, having not addressed climate change, having not addressed many of the issues that they say are priorities, the House has already left. What we are working toward is continuing to work with this Congress, as dysfunctional as it might be, to try to get the ethanol tax incentive extended on whatever bill happens to be moving in September, to get it to the President's desk. I do think there's going to be something with a tax title that we might be able to get on that can get to the President's desk. Probably not going to be the bill we'd all like. It's probably not going to be a very long extension, and they may have to tweak it here or there. But what I want to do is get past this current mood in the Congress in which very little gets done, and hopefully next year be able to have a meaningful conversation about how to incent biofuels and make sure that everything's on the table, including the incentives that currently go to petroleum. What I'm against is any kind of unilateral disarmament, that ethanol is the only biofuel tax incentive that should not be renewed. And we need to address those issues. And I remain hopeful we'll be able to get that done this year.
Now, RFA has been collaborating with ACE, the American Coalition for Ethanol, and also the National Corn Growers Association on many of these issues. As you mentioned, the blender's tax credit, along with the associated tariff on imports of ethanol. What are you advocating as far as that's concerned, and what are some of the possible scenarios right now being floated on Capitol Hill?
Well, of course, there are all kinds of proposals that are out there. One member from Nebraska suggests that we should only have the tax incentive available to gallons of ethanol beyond that which is required by the renewable fuel standard. Another member of the Senate has suggested that the ethanol tax incentive be indexed to the price of oil. There's the proposal, of course, from Growth Energy that suggests phasing down the incentive while ramping up investments in infrastructure. There's another proposal out there that would transform the existing incentive to a producer incentive, reduce it somewhat, but extend it over a longer period of time, and tie it to greenhouse gases. There are a number of proposals that are floating out there. I think one of the good things is all of these proposals are being suggested and discussed in terms of how do we continue to grow and evolve the industry. Very few people, save perhaps John McCain of Arizona, is saying, let's just end the whole thing. They're saying, how do we restructure the incentive in a way that makes sense for the industry and the taxpayer? And that's a very legitimate and constructive conversation to have. But there are very few legislative days left. Congress is about to adjourn for August. We'll be looking at sometime in September and perhaps early October. But early on in October, Congress is going to adjourn again for the elections. There's some talk about doing a lame duck session, but I've never seen very much constructive happen in a lame duck. So right now, we're looking at just moving whatever we can get done for as long a period of time as possible. In a meeting that we had just about a month ago, one of our champions that has actually sponsored the extension legislation on the Hill, Earl Pomeroy, who sits on the Ways and Means Committee, told a gathering of all of us that are supporting the ethanol industry that the enemy of success in the Congress right now was complexity and cost. And so, you know, his direction to us was keep it simple. And let's just continue on the path of an extension of the program that is in place today and do so for as long a period of time as possible. And then let's get to a broader discussion next year. I'm not in the habit of arguing with our champions. I think that that is sage counsel, and that's where we have been, and that's where the National Corn Growers Association and the American Coalition for Ethanol and the American Farm Bureau Federation and many of the other stakeholders that we work with on these issues on a regular basis believe we need to be.
Now, as far as the increasing the blend rate for ethanol and gasoline to E15, that decision continues to be delayed by EPA regarding testing they still have to do with the Department of Energy. RFA came out recently and said, well, let's go to E12 right now. That's something you can do right now. Let's go ahead and do it. Where do we stand at this point? Is there a possibility we could get that E12 done? And do you think EPA is ever going to make a decision on going to E15?
Well, EPA continues to be one of the most dysfunctional agencies of the government. They cannot seem to make a decision. There has been just a ton of data generated on E15 and E20, and they continue to ask for more. They're really counting the angels on the head of a pin with respect to whether or not consumers should be allowed to just choose, if they want to use a higher blend level. One wishes, perhaps, that the agency had been anywhere near as diligent in studying the blowout preventers BP was using in the Gulf of Mexico, because they've really gone overboard with us and apparently didn't do anything with respect to protecting the Gulf Coast. We're just so incredibly frustrated at the slow pace, at the lack of decision by the EPA on this issue. And yes, the RFA, the corn growers, and the American Coalition for Ethanol, again, last week had written to EPA saying, gosh darn it, if you're going to continue to study E15 to death, at least while you continue to do that, recognize that your own regulations today would seemingly allow for the use of 12% ethanol. Because in regulations in place today, a refiner or marketer could blend 2% MTBE on top of 10% ethanol. Well, that's 4% oxygenate. And your engine just does not care whether the oxygenate is coming from one oxygenate or two. This would require no testing. It doesn't require a waiver to be passed. It simply requires EPA to clarify its existing oxygenate stacking rules. We think that there's a great deal that the administration could do today while it continues to dither on the questions about E15 and do it for all vehicles that are on the road. One of the real issues that we have with the approach that EPA has taken to the E15 waiver request is bifurcating and now trifurcating the market, suggesting that they will make E15 available for only 2007 and newer vehicles in the fall and 2001 and newer vehicles perhaps sometime next winter. We think that that just confuses marketers. We think it confuses consumers. We don't think that it is justified on any of the science that they have before us, and that what they ought to be doing is allowing E15 use for all vehicles. But in the meantime, for crying out loud, at least recognize your own regulations and approve E12 today.
On a final note, Bob, at this point and where we're at, and really at a crossroads for the industry as the blend wall is really upon us, how important is it for the ethanol industry to work together to show a united front in Washington?
Well, Cindy, I've been a strong advocate for quite some time of speaking as one voice, not necessarily with one voice, but we ought to all be on the same page in terms of what it is we're asking Congress and just what the priorities of the industry are. And one of the things that worries me greatly is that there doesn't appear to be a unified voice on those issues. There seems to be confusion about what the priorities are. And we believe strongly that there's no reason to unilaterally disarm, that we need to have the tax incentive in place until there can be a broader conversation about how to incent biofuels production and use. We need to have that conversation in the context of how best to accelerate the commercialization of cellulose, how best to assure that E85 markets are being able to move forward, and higher-level blend markets as well, because that's going to be critically important. If you were to get E15 tomorrow, but the tax incentive goes away, guess what? There's not going to be any discretionary blending. So we need to have a much more thoughtful and sophisticated and comprehensive discussion about all of these issues. The entire industry needs to coalesce behind that, and we can be successful in Washington once again.
Thank you very much, Bob Dineen, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. I'm Cindy Zimmerman with the Ethanol Report.